Just want us to welcome the salt shakers, all the salt shakers, children and teachers. Where are they? You can just wave your hand. Yes, we just want to welcome you. Now, I have to say, Priscilla did a brilliant job with her teaching and getting the children involved in her teaching last week. But this morning, I'm not sure if I can match with what was done, but I'm going to try and engage our children. So I'm going to do what was done last week. I think it's a good way, one way to engage. Is I'm going to ask all our, salt shaker children, if you, there's a sheet of quiz. I'm going to ask, is Josiah here? Is Josiah? Josiah and Joe? No? Mimi? No, not Mimi. Yeah, Mimi. Where is Mimi? Come on, Mimi. Mimi and Joel. Joel, where are you, Joel? Where are you, Joel? Okay. There's some sheets there and pencils. So one of you can go on and give the pencil, and one of you can go on and give the question, the quiz sheets. You can do that. You can leave that blue paper here. Yeah? So if you're a part of Salt Shakers, if you can raise your hands, these kids are going to come and give you these sheets. And after you finish it, kids, give it to Priscilla, okay? Who are you going to hand it over to? Priscilla, because I will not be available. No. And if you get, there are 11 questions, but if you get at least 9, how many?
9.
At least 9, you will have a small prize. Yeah? How about that? It's good? Okay. We're not very excited. Now, has everybody got one? Okay. If there is any extras, if any of the adults want to play with it, they're welcome. Hey, there's a hand. Joe, there's a hand lifted there. Okay. Anybody else? Oh, there's some kids there as well. Jojo and Mimi. There's some kids there as well. There, darling, there. There's some kids there as well. Okay. Now, are we all done? Don't start writing now, okay? Good. Great. You guys have got one? Jojo and Mimi? Okay. You can put the rest there on the table. That'd be great. Okay. Now, just like last week, you can ask your parents if you need help, okay? That's fine. Can do that. Now I want to begin by getting 3 of our kids, the Salt Shaker kids, to come forward and read 3 short passages for us as part of our teaching this morning. Nathan, are you ready? Nathan is going to come on. Can we encourage him? Come on, Nathan. Nathan is going to read. You want to tell what you're going to read?
Yeah.
Let me get the mic. It's important, man. Yeah, you have to say this again.
I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time.
Thank you, Nathan. Yes. So Tanishi is going to come and read to us Revelation chapter 4, 1 to 5. Here you go. You read from here.
After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God.
Thank you, Manisha. You can come and read.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation chapter 21 from verse 1 to 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children."
Thank you. That's it, we can go home now. Okay, an elderly couple. I'm going to try and stick to my script because of the questionnaire that I've given. I don't want the kids to get confused. So I'm going to try and stick to my script as much as possible. So please bear with me. So an elderly couple passed away and found themselves at the pearly gates. Peter was there to welcome them. First, he showed them their mansion. The man, overwhelmed by the sheer luxury of it all, being accustomed to business on earth, he asked, "How much does this place cost per night?" Peter replied, "Sir, this is heaven. It doesn't cost anything." Then Peter took them to the dining room where table upon table was piled high with the most delicious foods you could imagine. Again, overwhelmed by the glory of it all, the man asked, "How much for the meals?" Peter said, "You forget, this is heaven. It's free." Peter then took them out back where they saw a fantastically beautiful golf course. As the man stood there open mouthed, Peter said, "Now before you ask, there are no fees. This is heaven, everything is free." The man looked at his wife. "You and your confounded bran muffins. If it wasn't for them, I could have been here 10 years ago." It's all right, you'll get the joke. And what are your thoughts about heaven? Oh, by the way, can I ask to put your mobiles on silence, please? I don't want any calls from the Prime Minister or any call from heaven right now, okay? So if you could put your phone on silent, that'd be very helpful. Now, what are your thoughts about heaven? Or I should ask, what do you believe, or what do you believe about heaven? What do you think? I mean, I don't know. Nathan, what do you think about heaven? It's good. Demby, what do you think about heaven? Somebody said an answer. Who was that? Come on. From Archer, Mimi, what do you think about heaven? Just in one word. I'm asking too much, isn't it? Matthew? It's free. Hey, you're smart. You all are smart. That's why you're sitting here this morning. And, you know, we don't hear much about heaven in the church, except about maybe at a funeral or, I don't know, if I've not heard much teaching going on about heaven in the church. Because people have different views and ideas about heaven, okay? Depending on their religious or their philosophical upbringing or background. In fact, many don't even believe that there is a heaven. And that matter, many don't even believe that there is a hell, okay? Now, different people, as I said, have different views about what and where heaven is. Now, we don't have the time to go into those details. But this morning, I want to briefly look at what the Bible teaches about heaven. And the reason I'm saying look at it briefly is because this is a vast subject, yeah? Heaven is a vast subject. We could go on forever. And it's a complex subject. Now, the word heaven is used 415 times in the New International Version of the Bible. So that tells that heaven is a very important place. Are you with me? It's a very important reality, especially for the disciples of Jesus Christ. Now, part of our gospel preaching is that if you turn to God by putting your trust in Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for you through his death and resurrection, then the reward is what? Heaven. Okay? Now, therefore, if our reward of following Jesus Christ, who died for us, who rose again, who was buried and who rose again from the grave, if it's going to be heaven, or as Peter puts it, as Nathan read, it's our inheritance. We have our inheritance where? In heaven, if you were listening when he was reading. It is important for us to answer the question, where is heaven? Okay, are you with me? The Bible gives us, some ideas about where heaven is and how heaven looks like. Because the word heaven in Hebrew, that's the original language that the Old Testament is written in, and also in Greek, has three meanings in the Bible. I don't want to bore you with the words, Greek or Hebrew words, but I just want to say there are three meanings when the Bible uses the word heaven. The first word, heaven, refers to God's dwelling place, okay? Psalm 103:19 says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules overall." The second word is the word heaven also refers to the endless planets, stars, and galaxies of the universe. Again, as Psalmist writes in Psalm 8, verse 3 says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place." It's talking about the galaxies, the planets, the stars, and the universe. And thirdly, the Bible also speaks of the atmosphere that surrounds the earth as heaven or heavens. As you read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it is the atmosphere in which we live today, the humans and animals and sea creatures inhabit the realm. And we must study the Bible, biblical context, in order to understand what the Bible means at every time the word heaven appears in your reading and the passages we read. Now this morning, the heaven that I'm going to look at particularly is the heaven that Jesus has promised us, as God has promised us as a reward of turning back to God and putting our faith in Him. Are you with me? Okay. As I said, heaven is the topic heaven is a vast and complex subject. So I'm just going to highlight few facts or truths about heaven as the Bible teaches us. Okay? And I'm also going to expose few misconceptions or myths about heaven this morning. Okay? Now fact number one about heaven is where God is. Can you say that with me? Heaven is where God is. You're not loud enough. Heaven is where
God is.
That has woken you up, isn't it? Okay, moving on. The opening line, when you see the opening line of the Lord's Prayer, what did Jesus say? This is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, or in some translation, who is in heaven. In Matthew 5:16, again, Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And again in Matthew 5:45 says that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Now, it is important to understand that when we say God is in heaven, it's not like we say we are in HPC on Kingston Lane. Are you with me? The heaven that God dwells is not like an earthly location that can be measured, because it is immeasurable. Are you with me? It is immeasurable. God is not residing in somewhere in the galaxy so that we can see Him once in a while through the Hubble Space Telescope. The only way man can see God is only if He opens our eyes. And He did that a couple of times in the Bible. When you read the story of Elisha, what happened? He prayed, God, please open the eyes of my servant. What did he see? The host of heaven surrounding the place where the enemy was threatening to attack them. And when we, in Isaiah 66:1, this is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? So when I say God is in heaven, don't try to imagine, hear me, don't try to imagine God to be contained in a space and time as we understand space and time, okay? Are you with me? God is beyond space and time, because He created space and time. Are you with me? Okay. So if He created space and time, then He is outside space and time. God is uncreated. Bible tells us there is no beginning or end to God. So heaven is where God is, or rather where God is, there is heaven. Are you with me? So heaven is where God is. Second fact. That was easy, isn't it? That was simple. That was easy. You agree with me? Come on, say something. Fact number two. Heaven is where Jesus is. Are you with me? In Gospel of John 6:42, we read Jesus came from heaven. So Jesus was in heaven with God the Father. So the people who were his enemies, they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Who does he think he is? But Jesus is now in heaven with the Father. Now, Mark 16:19 says, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Luke 24:51 says, while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And Acts Acts 1, chapter 1, 11 says, men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. Now, Jesus, this is our hope, church, that Jesus is in heaven with the Father. And Jesus, hear me, who is God, the second person in the Trinity, is also not contained in some space and time. Because Bible in John chapter 1, when you read, what does it tell us? Jesus was there in the beginning. And all things were created by him and through him and for him. Jesus chose to contain himself when he came on the earth. He chose to contain himself in human flesh for the purpose of redemption. And the Bible says that this was not an afterthought, okay? But Jesus is the Lamb of God prepared to be sacrificed before the foundations of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1, 19. And I don't think with our human intellect, with our brain, we could ever fully understand the mysteries of God, the mysteries of heaven, the mysteries that God showed John in the vision. Because if we are able to fully understand God, then he sees us to be God. Are you with me? If anyone claims that they know God completely and fully, that God sees us to be God. Okay? So the fact number one about heaven is what? Those who are sleeping. Heaven is where? Oh, are you all sleeping? Fact number two. What is the fact number two? Heaven is? Where Jesus is right now. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is interceding. He is our high priest interceding on our behalf. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that even when you and I are not able to pray, even when you and I are struggling, we have a man in heaven who intercedes on our behalf. That's our hope, church. So don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. I was very sad to hear it. I don't know if you came across this news just last week. That a man of God committed suicide. A young man in his 30s, pastoring a mega church. And I don't know the circumstance. I'm not here to dissect what happened, or I'm not here to judge him, or I don't understand. But you know what? Let's not lose hope. We have a man in heaven who's been through all that we're going through. And he is able to comfort us, and he is able to strengthen us. So don't forget that God, Jesus, is in heaven on our behalf. Fact number three, and this is exciting. I hope this is exciting for you. Heaven, can anybody guess? What is the fact number three that I'm going to say? Anybody, let me hear. Good. Heaven will be the dwelling place of God's people. Come on. You know what? I don't know how much we... I think it's because we don't fully understand that we're not that excited. If we really understand what heaven is, and if we really understand where we are going, what God has prepared for us, I think we'll go crazy. And that's why God is not revealing everything, to keep us sane. Okay. Heaven is a place that God promises his people, where his people will dwell one day. Okay? Jesus, before he went back to heaven to be with his Father, he promised us, his disciples, in John chapter 14, 23, he says, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know, in Genesis, God created a place for man. Okay, you know the story. Where God met with man daily. You know that story? Okay. But the sin and rebellion, this disobedience marred that beautiful place and that relationship with God. But now Jesus is promising that he is preparing. He's a creator God. He's a God who creates, and he is a God who is creating even now. Jesus is promising that he is preparing a place for us, but this time it will not be tainted by sin. Are you with me? This time it will not be tainted by sin and death, because Jesus has destroyed the power of sin and death. Are you with me? I don't know how this place is going to look, but the Bible gives us some idea about this place that Jesus is preparing for us. Now, most of us have heard that heaven is a place where the streets are what? Paved with gold, the gates are made of pearl, and the walls made of precious jewels, and those images come from Revelation chapter 21, which we just read earlier, which offers us the most extended picture of heaven in the entire Bible. Are you with me? Now, if you ask me if I believe those things are literally true, the answer is yes and no. Okay? I was thinking, what kind of pastor? Let's wait, hold on. Okay. Yes, they're literally true, but no. Heaven won't be anything like we imagine. Are you with me? It will be much greater, beyond our understanding. Are you with me? Okay. I believe the Bible uses these images, using earthly elements, to give us a glimpse of what heaven will look like. And I also believe that there might be some earthly elements that could be part of the new heaven and the new earth. But let's wait and see. Let's wait and see. Now, some of the things that we can be assured about heaven. This is some of the things that we can be absolutely sure. I don't know the materials that we use. I don't know about that. But we can be sure, absolutely sure about some things that the Bible tells us about. That there will be no crying. Are you with me? That there will be no crying, no death, no mourning, no pain. Revelation chapter 21:4. For those of us who are struggling in our health, those of us who are struggling with sickness or disease, the good news is that the heaven is the place where there will be no crying, there will be no death, no mourning, no pain. We will recognize and know one another. Are you with me? It'll be a place of beauty and opulence, with streets of gold and buildings of jewels, as Revelation 21:15 to 21 puts it. There'll be no night, and the light of the glory of Jesus will replace the sun. Revelation 21, 23 and 22, 25. We will see Jesus face to face. As Paul says, now we know in part, but one day we will know in full. We'll see our Savior, our Redeemer, who died for us, who gave his life for us, who set us free from the slavery of sin and the fear of death. We'll see him face to face. There'll be no sin or sinners there. Aren't we glad? There'll be no sickness. There'll be pure water and delicious food to enjoy, Revelation 22, 1 and 2. We will worship Jesus as we see him face to face, Revelation 22, 3. It'll be a place of pure joy and pleasure. Hear me, pure joy and pleasure. All the pleasures that we enjoy here, all the joy that we have here is temporary. They don't last too long. But the joy and the pleasure that we receive in the presence of God is pure. And you know what? The lion and the lamb, this is what the Bible tells us, will lie down together. We will be perfectly healthy and full of energy like a leaping calf. Malachi 4 to Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. We'll have resurrected. Hey, listen. Don't worry about the weight loss or weight gain. Good news for you. You're all awake. So, Pastor, what tip are you going to give us for weight loss? No, I'm not giving you any tip. I'm going to tell you one thing, that we're going to have a resurrected body. It'll be nothing like this. I look smarter and handsome than I am now. You don't agree, huh? It's all right. My wife thinks I'm handsome. I'll console myself with that. We will have resurrected, perfected bodies like the one Jesus rose with. I just can't understand that. I don't understand, but that is the truth. 1 Corinthians 15:35 onwards, you'll read that. And you know what? There'd be a great feast, a lot of food that you've never seen before. Those of us who are foodies, get ready. Yeah, all kinds of ice cream you've never seen before. Everyone will have, this is important to know, everyone will have God-appointed tasks to do. That'll be enjoyable and not burdensome, including care of the earth, building things and preparing food and drink. Genesis 2:15, Isaiah 65, 21, 22. I'm not just making these things up, okay? Revelation 21:4. It'll be even better than anything that we can ever imagine. Are you with me? Now, there's this debate among theologians regarding the people who are dead in Christ, whether they are already in heaven or in a place called paradise, where they are in a state of rest. Now, I don't want to go much into that detail. As I said, there's so much I could say. But because of the lack of time, let me cite two scriptures and then we will move on. Is that okay? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says in verse 51 and 52, he says about those who will be dead before and those who will be still alive during Jesus' second coming. He says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed." Are you with me? "In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." Then in Hebrews 11, 39 and 40 says, "These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." Are you with me? So from these two scriptures, it seems that those who die in Christ do not go straight to the heaven that I was talking about, with which Christ is preparing for his saints. But they do go into the presence of God, okay, In a different place where they are resting and waiting for Christ to raise them up and make them perfect with all the saints who hold on to their faith till Christ returns. Okay? Now we can debate about it later. We can talk about it there later if you want. Whether we agree with this interpretation or not, ultimately what matters, hear me, is that heaven is where we will be in God's presence and we will be with Jesus forever. Because the chief purpose, if you remember, of man is to know God and to enjoy him forever. Do you remember that? The chief purpose of man is to know God, is to glorify God, is to know God, is to enjoy him, to be in his presence forever and ever. Now, before I I conclude this, the facts about heaven, and speak about the misconceptions about. I need to add one more fact about the heaven. Heaven can be experienced now. How many of you believe that? Heaven. I need to drink some water. That's better. Heaven can be experienced now. The moment you turn to God, hear me, the moment you turn to God and put your trust in Jesus Christ, you have come into the kingdom of God. And then Matthew uses the phrase, the kingdom of heaven. Are you with me? You enter the kingdom of heaven or the realm of heaven. And Matthew 3:2 says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And do you know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? How many of you know that? And how many of you believe that? The same power that raised Jesus Christ dwells or lives within you. The moment you give your heart to Jesus, that means heaven is in you. Okay? That means heaven is in you. You and I are the ambassadors of heaven, as Paul talks about, carrying heaven within us. To impact the earth. We are not having the heaven within us just for our own pleasure, but we carry this heaven that God has put us in, that God has taken us in, through the power of His Spirit, to impact the lives around us, to impact the lives that need to know Jesus Christ, and to serve Him, and to live for Him. You know, you can experience the kingdom of God now, while you're still alive, by experiencing the grace of God and defeat of sin in your life on a daily basis. You with me? You experience heaven when you overcome temptation. You experience heaven when you're able to say no to something that you know will drag you away from God. And you witness the power of sin break in other people as you share the good news of Jesus Christ to them. You can experience heaven as you experience His blessings and His goodness in your life. You can experience heaven as you serve using the gifts of the Spirit that God has given you, the talents that God has given you. Heaven can be experienced now. Eternal life starts now. The moment you give your life to Christ, you are in where? In heaven. Not perfectly, but you experience heaven. Are you with me? Now let me just finish by just highlighting few misconceptions about heaven. And I'll be done in another hour or so. Okay, the first misconception among many others is that everyone will be in heaven. Don't judge, okay? Often we hear people say when somebody close to them dies, and I say this very, very carefully, okay? That they are, when somebody dies, close to us, somebody dies, they are in a better place. I don't know what better place is. Another phrase that we use, used by most people, including many Christians, is R.I.P. Rest in peace. We say that to anyone who dies, and regardless of what they believe or not believe. Don't we do that? They're in a better place, or rest in peace. Now, the reason we say these things is because, you know, either we want to be nice, or we actually believe in the myth that everyone who dies will be in heaven, or everyone who dies are in peace. Is that true? As I said, I may be offending some of you, but I do not believe that everyone is going to be in heaven. I'm sorry to say that. especially if you're talking about the heaven of the Bible. Okay, I don't know about other heavens, but if you're talking about the heaven of the Bible, I'm sorry, not everyone is going to be there. Okay, Jesus makes it very clear in Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And Jesus again, in John chapter 14, this famous verse, you all know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Where is the Father? Where is Jesus? And no one comes to the Father except through me. So heaven of the Bible is not our default destination. Can you hear me? One has to turn to God through Jesus to receive entry into heaven. Even to experience heaven here and now. Are you with me? One has to be redeemed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light or the kingdom of heaven to receive the reward of heavenly citizenship. So please hear me. Anyone who is not a believer in Jesus as their Savior is not on the path towards heaven. And if that is you this morning, can I encourage you to ask Christ to come into your life this morning? Or if you're doubtful, cry out to him this morning. Because he is here. He is near. He's not far away. So the misconception of number one, everyone will not be in heaven. Okay, second one, heaven is a place of never-ending worship service. And because of that, some people think heaven will be boring. Church, heaven is not going to be boring. You know why? Because God is there and God is not boring. If you have any idea, if you read through the scripture, God is not boring at all. David in Psalm 16, 11 writes, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at right hand. If heaven is where God is, and if where we are going, if heaven is where God is, and if heaven is where Jesus is, and if we are going to be in his presence, we will experience true joy and pleasure, as I mentioned earlier. We will finally be with one, with the one who fulfills us. Are you with me? And completes us, the one who fulfills the deepest longing of our hearts. Yes, we will continue to worship God in heaven, no doubt. Not just merely through emotionally intense act of verbal praise. Are you with me? But everything we do, hear me, everything we do will be as worship to him in heaven. That means you will not just sit around and sing whole day in alto and tenor and bass with Kingsley on the piano and Marcy on the drums. Instead, you and I will have to work to do. Are you with me? And that's why when Paul says that, you know, offer your lives as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And this is a acceptable worship for God. I don't think Christ is going to say to us, well done, good and faithful servant, take the rest of eternity off. You've come to retire. You look so tired. Take rest. Go into your mansion. Because, you know, the resurrected body, if it's anything like Jesus, we will still be 30. Those of you who are in your 70s and 80s, don't lose heart. You are going to be 30. Hey, I'm not joking. We'll be transformed. We'll have new bodies. Come on. So don't lose heart. Age is just a number. So don't give too much thought to that. You will have brand new bodies, glorious bodies, just as Jesus had. Jesus' words in the parable of the talents, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." In Matthew 25, 21. Sounds like we are going to be given many things to do in heaven. Okay, are you with me? If you remember in Genesis, God gave Adam work to do in the garden even before sin came into the world. Work was not a part of the curse. Adam was told to work the ground and steward the animals, take care of the animals from the beginning, name them. The curse brought suffering and toil and unfruitfulness that now thwarts our work. Are you with me? But work is a sanctified, God-given directive. We will work in heaven and our work will be glorifying God. We will work with great joy and with great results than ever before. And we will be in the company of innumerable angels and other believers just like us, praising and serving God. Heaven will not be boring. I could say much more. I know there are other things that I could talk about, but I want to stop there. Shall we stand together? God has prepared a place for us. And in fact, He wants us to enjoy, have a glimpse of that now as we live for Him, as we serve Him, as we seek Him. He wants us to enjoy His eternal life starting now from the time we give our life to Him. Can I ask you, if you have not yet given your life to Christ, if you're not yet in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, take this opportunity and say, "Lord, here I am. I want to be where you are. I want to experience your presence. I want to know you." As Paul says, "I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection." And as Paul says, that "I'd rather be with Christ than live on the earth. For me to live is Christ, and die," he says, "is gain."